I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. Thanks. My intern just came back. I always have a summer intern up in Indiana, and they're terrific. And I love to see him. She's just graduated from Purdue, is heading to Washington, D.C.
Sounds nice.
So she's a big achiever.
Great. Good, good.
Engineer. Rare to have female engineers these days, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I know. So, how was the week?
Week was okay. It was up and down. I feel like if I'm a football team, I'm just playing defense, you know?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And
So,
that's because of the market or because of what?
no, I don't really get very sucked into the vortex around the market. I mean, the market's going to do what the market's going to do, and most of my clients are kind of that same mindset. It's really, I mean, segmentation has been a challenge for me, and I'm just not getting the, like, last time I did this, I feel like there was a lot of low-hanging fruit that just kind of immediately came my way. Whereas this time, that's not happening. I feel like I'm just, pruning, paring away at my book in, with the faith that this will ultimately grow it. But right now, it feels like I'm stuck in reverse. We also had a client that left. We just found out today. Which, intellectually, I mean, that just fuels the need to really give better service. He was that doctor I had given to Anthony recently. And unfortunately, it didn't go in the way that Anthony's been able to turn around other relationships. We got the ACAT today, and I reached out to him, and he said this had been in the works for a while, so it was nothing, it was just coincidental, the timing around it. I had lost control of the relationship several years ago when some other insurance-based clown came in and did a plan for the guy, ever since then, it's been kind of a gradual, the other guy has assumed more and more of the relationship, and he's also not a great client. I mean, as we're talking today, he's talking about how he'd love to come back if we ever get a Bitcoin trading platform. He's not really, the way I look at it, I lost this relationship years ago, and maybe even a better way to put it is that this relationship went in a direction that isn't a good fit for me several years ago. That was frustrating to see $1 million walk out the door. I mean, as I'm since we haven't I there hasn't been much going on around acquisition. I don't want to say we haven't gotten to that. I mean, this just hasn't been a big acquisition year for me. Right now, I mean, I'm looking at my account and my assets going down and down some more. So I'm very hesitant to continue, transitioning, reasonably good clients out just because they don't fit, some ideal of what we're looking for.
No, that's okay. I mean, look, the reality is, you don't have a fat book.
No.
You're not in a have to mode in order to find time to. The key for you is fewer clients means more time for acquisition.
Right.
If we're not doing acquisition, then let's stop what. You know, and begin to do acquisition. Okay, so the
Sure.
game is, yeah, the game is let's grow, and then when we are successful in our growing, then we can decide to get skinnier. But until then, it's not a critical part of Supernova. You don't have to get rid of everybody. in order to do supernova. You can do it, and you know, you can empty your bench gradually rather than all at once. You know, it's, if you're a basketball team, you play the players you have, and then gradually, as you recruited new ones, you'd replace the poorer ones with better ones. So
that's reassuring to hear, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Don't think of me as. I mean, look, we've got our model, which is the. Which is the model, right? But
sure.
the rule of common sense trumps all other rules.
Okay.
So when you say to yourself, this doesn't make common sense at this time in my life, I need to spend more time on acquisition, then that's what we should be doing.
That sounds great.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, another question I had is, you know, I'm watching the videos. You know, I think one of the things that's missing is the first time I did this, I was sharing with the clients I'm keeping about the new system and the new service and what to expect. I haven't been doing that this time around. So one question I had for you is, should I be sharing with the clients I'm keeping that, hey, I've re-engaged with that coach, we're going to be refining the service even more, here's what we're committing to offering, here's what we're going to add that we hadn't really added before. And we, you know, we're looking forward to working with you and you know, going forward with it.
Well, here's one of the things that I find, and and Abe, when you got up and spoke, you were, you know, all in, do it 100%, etc.
Right.
So the advantage of doing 100% is that you know everybody is getting everything. When you start to segment your book and say, I'm giving really the real supernova to a client and I'm not giving it to the rest, then you got to remember what it is that you're not giving to the rest, okay?
Sure.
And it's kind of confusing for you. So one of the things, that's why we like the simpler model of having all a client.
Okay. Sure.
It doesn't mean you have to get rid of the rest of them, but your mission should be eventually to have all a client. Now, every client gets a financial plan. Now, you know, I think one of the traps that you fell into with the doctor was you assumed that he was going to be fine without a financial plan.
Well, we did a plan years ago. We just never updated it. And I think that was, you know, without being too specific and in the weeds on this particular guy, I think that's how, you know, when I opened the door to some other, you know, the fox entering the hen house.
Yeah. So one of the things that, here's a nuance that you can incorporate. We do a financial plan, right? But it's, we think of it too much like a book. We did the book. It's over. Now we talk about performance. I would rather say what we offer is multi-generational financial planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. Four of those, we review the plan. Two of those, we do it in person.
Right.
Okay. So your focus then is on the planning process rather than on performance.
For sure.
Okay? So do you see that nuance? Because we used to say, you know, four reviews, two of them are in person. Well, the review says, you know, performance review to most of us.
Right,
it doesn't have to. And one of the traps that we fall into is we do the plan, we put the book on the shelf, we capture the low-hanging fruit, and then we move on.
Right. Yeah, I get all that. I mean, my question, you know, I was asking about is around the clients I'm keeping.
Yep.
Should I share with them
if my point in bringing this story up is that if you're going to be doing something different, bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I implemented the executive summaries and this week, that was one of the to-do items I had, and I've since done that. I mean, definitely we are going to be doing something different. We're doing, we'll be doing several things different going forward than we did in the past.
All right. So when I introduce Supernova to clients who have already heard me speak, mm-hmm. what I do when I in the speech, I make sure that I focus on the things that are new and different
mm-hmm.
about what we're doing. All right. So
okay.
my point is when you reintroduce Supernova to them, you can talk about overall what you are doing, but say these are the changes that we're making in the process that you're used to seeing.
Right.
Okay. So
should I tell them I've done another round of segmentation and that they made the cut?
I don't know that you need to spend any time on that. I don't think so. Unless you want to bring them in line, unless they're being a little, funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a way to make them pledge allegiance in the sense of, you made the cut and they're like, phew, thanks.
Right.
What else do you need me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look at how much you have forgotten about Supernova, right?
Sure.
So the question is, how much have they forgotten, or how much are they taking for granted?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that, my five-time rule says that the clients don't really understand something until we've told them five different ways.
Right.
And so that's what I did with my FAs, and that's what I think you need to do with your clients. You need to explain to them the benefits of what you're doing in five different ways. Maybe send them a letter. Maybe you tell them, then you tell them what you told them, and then you tell them again, and so forth. You just kind of have to be patient about almost pretending you never told them in the first place.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So, all right. So I think it's good. And you could send a letter saying, this is what I've reengaged and this is what we're doing. We're making another commitment to the higher level of service. Things have changed. Things have gotten, more challenging in the markets, requiring us to spend more time and effort on this.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think the good news for you guys is that, so finally, that it looks like individual money management is starting to outperform the indexes.
Yeah.
Here we were stuck with the indexes forever.
Sure.
And now we're getting individual money management is starting to win. And that's a bright day for us in our industry.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so let's just go through the homework in terms of what we're doing and what we said we'd do. And
sure.
Okay, so why don't you start on that?
Specifically, what were you referring to? What did you mean?
Well, we had six things that we wrote down. 24-month calendar for June.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you referencing the email I copied you on Monday from our team meeting?
No, I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
I thought I had sent it to you to get your feedback on it.
I'm sorry, I didn't see it. I missed it.
Yeah, you're rdnap@supernovaconsulting.com.
Yeah.
All right, let me forward it back to you.
Okay.
And then can you – I'm looking at my notes from – oh, okay, here we go. Work on the spreadsheet, continue with reassignments, begin with 24-month calendar, and then begin using executive summary. Those were the four things I wrote down from our call.
Yeah.
24-month calendar, executive summary, multiplier. Oh, you're still going to work on the multiplier. Five-star model.
Yeah, five-star model.
Reassign clients, and I think I've got something about the Friday meeting. Begin the Friday meeting, or
that's the meeting for each of the directors. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did the Monday kickoff meeting. We divided up the five-star model and assigned roles. We're kind of fumbled our way through the first meeting. I think we did fine, and we have a recap or a results meeting tomorrow, so we'll find out exactly where everyone stands on that. That's up and running. I tasked Tony with setting up the 24-month calendar, knowing that he really doesn't know exactly how to do that. So he and I are gonna have to sit down and this afternoon and really start that moving.
Okay, so you know that there's an example in the workbook.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We're gonna lean on that.
Yeah, you don't have to start at scratch, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll work on that. I did begin doing the executive summaries all the time. We were continuing with reassignments, work on the spreadsheet. I mean, basically we're making progress. I think maybe I'm just a little antsy and frustrated that nothing good is happening, and it just seems like we're losing ground and not making ground right now.
Well,
but I do understand we're laying the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, it may just be, you're so anxious to get into acquisition that you're just getting a little frustrated. So let's spend the time on acquisition if that makes sense. Right? That's where your energy is, and that's where you need to go. So maybe we should shift our effort there.
That sounds good.
Okay. So the Supernova Multiplier takes the seven strategies that we outline in the workbook and in Supernova, and it just expands on each one of them. The stories and gives you, examples of who's with interviews and stories and exact details on how do you really develop a center of influence? How do you develop a mastermind group and so forth?
Right.
Each one of them, these are more sophisticated ways of bringing in high net worth clients. They are not ways to get the quickest results, because wealthy clients come to us through introductions. They do not walk in.
Right.
Okay. And they don't typically respond to cold call. So the answer is, if we're going to get introductions, we have to make an impression on people that give introductions. We have to have it be a very positive impact. Now, you have clients that like you, trust you, and send you business without you asking.
Yes.
The problem typically is we don't have enough of them. So we want to increase the pool of people that are willing to give us introductions without us asking. And those are centers of influence. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we're going to ask. In fact, we may want to ask a lot, but what we really want is ambassadors that love us and send us at least one client every year.
Right.
That's our goal. All right. Mm-hmm. So if we had 30 clients giving us one introduction to a really good person that became a client every year, we dramatically upgrade the quality of our book every year.
Sure.
And that's how we grow. We don't grow by having more clients. We grow by having better clients. So that becomes the game. Now, those things, and you have to be prepared to be as patient with this prospecting process as because it takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, I just had a guy bring in a $30 million client. And I said, how long did it take? He said 2.5 years.
Wow.
Okay. So that's what it takes with really wealthy people. Not always, but you have to be patient with them and you have to nurture them and you have to. I'm not saying that you go after people that aren't interested, but to develop, you know, I had one guy that I worked with who had a fabulous center of influence, a CPA that sent him a ton of business. And I said to him, how long did it take you to develop that relationship? He said, 20 years.
Wow.
He said, we had to become friends first, and then we became, you know, then he would send me business. But it took, and he said, I don't have another 20 years. How do I do it faster? I said, I think we can do it in 2 years.
Okay.
but you have to be patient and go through the process. So the question is, how long, Abe, does it take you to become friends with somebody so that they consider you a really good friend? How long does that take?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess a couple of years.
Right. And that's what we're talking about here. A couple of years of working. And so don't expect to have, you know, your frustration immediately go away because
sure.
we work on acquisition. It will right. it will become even more frustrating in some ways.
Sure.
Because it takes time to plant the seeds and go through the process and so forth.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So you have time. See, you have years in the business. And if you do it now, my point is that you do it now, you'll have a fabulous business.
Right. And I'm not starting from square one either.
Right. Right. Exactly. So the question is, you know, where are we in the process? So let's go back and do an inventory.
Okay.
What we have. What do we have now? All right. So one of the things I want you to do is that spreadsheet. We talked about that, right? And the question is, have you done it and what does it look like now?
Yeah, I have. I have done it. I mean, there's I have a list of potential COIs. I also have my the list of that you had me do in terms of you know, suspects, prospects, customers,
right.
clients, advocates, and ambassadors. Obviously, there's overlap between both of those lists. So yeah, in terms of what does it look like? What are you referencing?
Well, how many advocates do you have now?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 advocates and 2 ambassadors.
That's really good.
Is it? I mean, I don't know what's typical.
I would say that's really, really good. So now the way you think about ambassadors, just think about them as your recognition club, right? When you don't get into a recognition club with your firm unless you do the business in that year, right?
Correct.
So
that's
what we're doing with the ambassadors. It's great to have sent you introductions, but they have to become clients in that year them to be, quote, an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many clients do you have now?
Bear with me for just a second. Well, let me just count them. I think that's the easiest way.
Okay. How many customers?
Good.
Okay, good. Prospects?
Two.
Okay. Suspects?
One.
Okay. And names?
I don't have names on the spreadsheet.
No, zero. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously we've got the right side looks great. Okay. 43 clients, 10 advocates, 2 ambassadors. Perfect.
Right.
Left side, not so good.
Exactly.
Okay. So now we got to fill up the prospect list.
Right. And I don't need the, you know, it'd be great if it happens that I start bringing in, you know, two clients a month. But, you know, you can tell when you have a lot of activity and you have a big pipeline, and you can tell when you don't. So for me, just filling in the, you know, building a pipeline would be encouraging.
Yeah. So I think that's what you need to do. This is where you want to put all your energy.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I'd shift 70-60% of your time to suspects, prospects, you know, names, suspects, prospects.
Yeah.
That would put all my energy, 60% of my time.
Right.
Look, you didn't get here because you weren't good at this.
Sure.
So you just have to put time in.
Right. I gotcha.
Okay. So you start to identify prospects. You can, you know, you can do whatever you were good at before.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and say, hey, dust it off and say, hey, I'm good at this. You can use all my tools, LinkedIn. That makes everything more efficient. You know, when you get a name, you see somebody's name in the newspaper and they just sold a business and you want to go after them. You look on LinkedIn, you see if anybody knows them. You see a couple people that you know that know them and you call them and say, hey, how about an introduction to such and such? You just sold this business. I'd love to do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically get back in the game. Okay.
Sure.
And let people know you're in the game and you want new clients. And so you just put your energy into it and it will happen.
I mean, I get that. But I'm looking for more specifics around that, like in terms of, you know, setting up mastermind groups or board of directors or, you know, how to really develop the COIs. Because that's stuff that, you know, I think I need to focus on all those areas.
Well, there's 5-step process to developing a new center of influence.
Okay.
All right. So the more they know you already, the better it is. So a center of influence, a mastermind group should be made up of people that you can refer to and they can refer to you.
Right.
A center of influence can be a heart surgeon. You don't need to have to refer to him. I mean, it could be a professor. You know, it could be the president of a university. With a with a mastermind group, you don't want those people in your mastermind group because you can't refer to them. You want it to be a mutually beneficial group. In your mastermind group. All right. Before we talk about centers of influence, talk to me about niches that you have now.
I mean, I think a natural niche I have is people with a legal background since I have my law degree. So attorneys.
Okay.
And that does tend to be, I mean, I think I have more attorneys than most advisors tend to. You know, as far as, you know, another niche, it could be people in healthcare administration, specifically around insurance. I have a couple of clients who own or have started health insurance companies.
Okay.
Yeah. And particularly one is an ambassador, or I guess he's an advocate because he hasn't sent me anything this year, but it's not for lack of trying on his part. He's been a great COI, and he started a insurance company down here that he sold, did quite well, and he's getting back in the game, and he's also very open to being an advocate for me.
It's really good.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, what else?
I think that's pretty much it in terms of niches.
All right, how about spill-offs from each of those? Let's start with attorneys. What, break it down into subsets of attorneys.
You mean like based on what type of law they practice?
Correct.
I hadn't really ever thought about that. This guy is a litigator. This guy does commercial real estate. This guy mostly immigration. I got two different immigration people. This guy does litigation. And I guess that's about this lady, kind of a housewife at this point. She used to be in litigation. I guess that's pretty much it. We're just glancing through the list.
All right. So who makes the most money?
The most money, I would say, the litigators.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the last lady you said you were going to say, and I cut you off?
Estate planning, and she's an ambassador.
Okay. That's really good. That's hard to develop.
Yeah. Yeah, although she's very much in the tail end of her career, actively winding her business down. You know, I need to develop more CPA and attorney COIs.
Okay. All right, so let's break down the health insurance companies. What do you get from him typically? Other executives or other competitors or friends, or what are the introductions from?
Yeah, I mean, from him, we try and have breakfast every month, you know, he's also a client. He's an A client. We meet at this place that is it's a public restaurant, but it's a very it's weird. You would never really think anything just looking at it, but it actually somehow for some reason attracts the elite of the Miami Cuban business community. He happens to be Cuban. His dad was the mayor of Havana back in the day. And people just go there and like table hop from one table to another, and he seems to know them all. And you know, so for him, I mean, introductions could be to anything, but they tend to be to business owners. And he also introduced me to what became one of my biggest relationships, who's a gentleman who started basically started an HMO, which they're all kind of frenemies. Like, they all sometimes compete and they all sometimes collaborate, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this guy, I mean, the COI has a great relationship in South Florida. He sold his business to United Healthcare. Unfortunately, he had a lot of investors, so he didn't own it all. But he sold it for like $250 million. He walked away with about $15 million. He has a good reputation from that. He's in the process of putting together another group to essentially, his non-competes run out. So now he's going to be essentially putting together another similar business. They do Medicare Advantage, where they administer Medicare and it's actually evidently I've learned a lot about the industry, which I never even knew existed prior to meeting these guys. So, did that answer your question?
No, you're going. You're hot. You're on it. This is what I need.
Yeah, I mean. He also had agreed to be on my board of directors, but, like, he was the first person I met with. I took him to drinks. It was nice. He's willing to help. But then, like, I never really followed up with it beyond that. That was probably a year or two ago. You know, the board of directors sounded great, but I never really got it off the ground.
Okay. So he's willing to help. You're the one that needs to make it more important. All the time, right? He's willing to lean towards you. You just need to lean towards him a little more.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So my suggestion is continue the breakfast meetings, but then do something else with him in between. So you're seeing him every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So what else does he like to do?
I don't really know. I mean, I'm not really sure. I would really be just guessing.
Okay, so you need to become better friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is on the board of directors of a local university here. And he's, you know, I know he's passionate about that.
Okay. Do you know, is he married? Does he have kids?
Yeah, he does. And I mean, I have accounts for several of his kids.
Okay. Have you taken him to dinner?
Not just him directly. I mean, he's been at dinner seminars I've put on, but no, I've not taken specifically just him to dinner.
All right. So I would suggest you do take him to dinner with his wife.
Okay.
Become more social with him.
Okay.
Is my point, you know, does he like to play golf? Does he like to, is he a fan of sports teams? Is he, you know, become a really good friend so that you can answer all those questions.
Right.
Okay. So you gotta take this to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
First, if it's the right thing to do, but second, it will be really good for you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I mean, he does not invite me to Christmas parties or stuff that, like, socializing, things like that, nor do I for him, which is obviously where you're going with this.
Yeah, I think you're missing a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you like him?
Yeah, very much so. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, so I mean, hey, what's wrong with that, right?
Right.
If you didn't like him, say forget it. But if you like him, then let's you know, it's like dating, right? Let's take this to the next level.
Gotcha.
So this is what I want you to do. Start with the people that already like you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I want you to meet with your centers of influence once a month, just like you do with him. What you're doing with him is perfect. You need to now take it to the next level.
Well, let me ask you about that. I mean, I frequently run into the, you know, I'm too busy to do a regular monthly meeting response from the COIs. How do you handle that?
You didn't with him, right?
No, I didn't with him.
Why?
I don't know. I mean,
well, think about it. Why does he like meeting with you monthly?
I mean, I don't want to be obstinate, but for one thing, he's not presently working, so I think he has the time and enjoys it. You know, I'm thinking about, like, for example, CPAs who I tried this with one of my CPA relationships a while back, you know, and I got like, wow, that's great, but you know, I can't, you know, I don't have time to meet every month.
If you had an introduction for him every month, he would meet them, wouldn't he?
That's true.
And remember, the way you start prospecting is not by giving, by getting, but by giving.
Right, by giving. I got that.
You have to create more value in
mm-hmm.
who you are. So you become a connector. If people see you as a connector, as a person that has regular introductions to give to them, they'll be happy to meet with you monthly.
Gotcha. What do you think about a guy who does, he's an estate planning attorney I've been trying to develop. I know him through Rotary, good guy. I know he thinks the same of me. I've sent him several matters because he's been a good fit and he's handled them well. And I'm looking to bring someone else into the fold since the other lady is in her early 70s and ending her practice. I've given, you know, we had a nice lunch. He did share with me that he gives his big accounts to like Bessemer Trust or Northern Trust or something like that, or his big referrals. But he did, you know, he did say there might be opportunities, and that was probably a year ago. I've given him, you know, continued to send him stuff because, you know, I like him. I know he'll do a good job, and yet nothing has come back. Do you think that's someone I should try and schedule, you know, monthly meetings with and try and move it forward, or is that kind of a fill or kill conversation of, hey, Chris, you know, look, what's going on here? How do you think I should approach that?
Well, if you read my book, we talk about the five steps. The five steps are, you first go to his office and meet his people, and you take your team with you to meet his folks. So each party meets their counterpart, and you find out what he does, how he does it, why he's different, what his average client size is, and what he's looking for, and who are the people behind it. And basically the idea is that, you know, before we send, you know, more people to you, we'd like to make sure we know everybody that's going to be touching our clients.
Okay.
All right, so then you meet them, and then you invite him to you. And you get your team, and everybody stands up and introduces themselves, and they tell what they do and how they do it. And, you know, you have your financial planning person there, you have Anthony there, you there, and so forth. And talk about roles and responsibilities and why somebody should be comfortable sending somebody to us versus Bessemer Trust or Northern Trust.
Okay.
Okay. They don't do anything that you don't do, by the way.
Right.
There's no special sauce or something
that they give to them that makes them safer or better or more secure or any of that crap. It's just bullshit.
Right.
Okay.
And they probably, in fact, do less than we do and charge more.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Right.
So you want to, and during that, and then you want to meet with him again, and you teach him your enthusiastically endorsed model.
Okay.
And you remember that? You remember what
sure.
that is?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so, right. So you ask. You ask all, how do I get so many introductions for you? I ask every client, can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? And their answer is, what estate planning attorney? Or,
right.
you know, no, I don't particularly like him, but he did okay for me. Would
mm-hmm.
you be interested in meeting a new one that gets enthusiastic endorsements? And they say yes. And you got to give them three names. And so you give them this guy's name. And so forth. You make the introduction, he meets them, and so forth. That's how you teach him. And so, what am I supposed to do again? You're supposed to ask your clients, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor?
Right.
When they say, no, I'm thinking about making a change, you put me on the list and give me the opportunity to show what we do and how we do it.
Got it.
He said, okay, that's good. See, he shouldn't be just, and you should convince him the fact that he should never give one name.
Uh-huh.
He should never give Bessemer Trust. He should never give Northern Trust. He should give three names, and you should be one of them.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Do you think seriously,
he's liable if something happens and those people run off with their money, or mm-hmm. something happens. He's liable. Now, you say, well, Northern Trust will, yeah, but they can still sue you, Mr.
Right.
Estate Planning Attorney, right?
Sure.
So you should always give three names, and that means that that person made their own decision.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Hang on one
second. Hey.
Nicholas, you're big. All right, buddy.
Come on in.
All right. Just finish it up. All right. So that's what you do. That's the
okay.
game.
Gotcha.
Okay? And I would take a look at each of your centers of influence. You've got 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think back through and go through those, you know, with your professional centers of influence, attorneys, CPAs, I go through those five steps. But
okay.
I take the ones that you already have the best relationship with and make them better. So if you're meeting with them monthly, meet with them every 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
All right. So you don't have a scheduled meeting with your friend. You know, you have
sure.
a breakfast with him every month, right? But then
right.
you have a dinner. Then you know, 2 weeks from then you have a dinner with he and his wife. Then you go to a ball game, or you play golf, or you do whatever he likes to do.
Sure.
You get involved with his charity, get involved with his university, or whatever. Because he has the ability to make your life, that guy.
Right. Right.
Okay. So you don't have to go very much further than him. You just need to spend more time with him.
Gotcha.
And then you got 10 others that have that ability too. So now let's focus on the stuff that's the lowest hanging fruit,
mm-hmm.
and the stuff that's the easiest, and spend more time on that. And if it doesn't look like that's going to work, we can bail out. But as of now, it's worked for you for years, so let's keep on going, but just up the game, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So he can give you 10 introductions that become five clients. That's a hell of a good start.
Yeah, absolutely.
okay?
Absolutely.
So I want you to come up with a team name, and then I want to put you on my website and send you an email every month and have you compete with other teams.
Okay.
I had two teams that – I had a team last night that wanted to do this because they don't have no competition. And they want to, they want some way of measuring their success. And then
okay.
I had a team today, and I told them the idea, and they were like, "Yeah, we gotta grow, we gotta like double, and so we need somebody to compete with."
Okay.
And you're in the same boat. You gotta double. Okay. So we gotta ramp up the activity, and a little competition is a fun thing to do.
So is this team name just for your purposes, or like you're saying we should actually start within Morgan Stanley using the team name?
No, this is just your bogus name that, you know,
right.
I can use, and nobody will know who you are, but you will, and you won't even know who the other teams are, but they'll be real teams.
Okay, that sounds good.
This sounds like a riot, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was because nobody, you know, I met with this team, and I used to be their manager, and they're saying, "We have no competition anymore. It was so much fun when you were there. We always were competing for one thing or another, and it was a blast. And now we have nothing. We don't even know how the other teams are doing. Nobody knows anything." And
sure.
I said, "You know, what'd be neat if you were able to, you know, have on your website how we're doing, and then once a month send us an email, rank everybody and stack rank them, and like we used to do, you know."
Sure.
It'd be fun. So anyway. So I need a team, a bogus team name that, you know, that will hide your real name, but will be fun for you. So come up with a name.
Okay, will do.
All right.
All right. Sounds good.
So this week was all on acquisition. We're going to focus all on acquisition. Okay. So
okay,
read the chapter great. On, read the chapter, reread the chapter and the multiplier on. Centers of influence and niches. That's
okay.
What we're going to focus on. Okay?
Got it.
Okay.
Right, thanks
a lot, Rob. Thanks, buddy. All right. Bye.
Thank you.